So last week, I talked about how I had been listening to a series by Craig Groeschel from LifeChurch.tv, and it was called Not Afraid, and that's where I got that graphic from. And these sermons really hit me, so I decided to pause our series in 1 Corinthians for just a couple weeks to do our own Not Afraid series. And this will be the second and final week in that, and then next week is Easter. So next week we'll start a new series just focused about Easter, and we'll go from there. But this morning I really want to talk about hope. You know, last week we talked about the idea of fear and what it is that Jesus means when he tells us not to be afraid. How Christians are supposed to have a different filter. And we looked at John 14:27, where John said, "Peace I leave with you." This is actually Jesus speaking. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." In light of what is going on in the world today, people are getting sick. People are dying. The cases are going up by thousands each day, right? The market is crashing. Store shelves are empty. How are we supposed to not let our hearts be troubled? How? How are we not supposed to be afraid? How are we supposed to have hope? You know, perhaps the only thing more contagious than this virus is fear. I was reading an article in Time Magazine by a lady named Eva Holland. She wrote a book called Nerve, Adventures in Science of Fear. And in this article, she talked about fear and how science has actually proven that it is indeed contagious. We've always said it. We've always alluded to it. Oh, fear is contagious. No, it has physically been proven by science that fear is contagious. She said that so often we describe fear in terms of a disease. We talk about fear spreading like a virus, racing through a crowd. We talk about being infected by fear. And it might be cliche, but it turns out studies suggest it's true. Fear really is contagious. This article goes on to report that about 10 years ago, scientists started studying fear and the effect it has on the body and whether or not it could be sensed and spread to others. So what they did was, this is a crazy science experiment that they did. I'm sorry, I'm moving. They did this experiment, and scientists took the sweat of people that had just exercised, and they took the sweat of people that they scared really, really bad, all right? So they put these two things next to each other, and then they tested it. They released the smell of it, I guess, into a room, and they showed the same pictures, right? It was the pictures of a mean-looking guy or something like that. And what they did was when they released the workout sweat smell, people weren't afraid. But when they released the fear smell, the fear pheromones, the fear odor, right? People became afraid of this gentleman. So what they realized was that there is something that happens in your body physiologically that when you are scared, you produce some pheromones or whatever that emits from you, and that can then be contagious and sensed by the people around you. And that is why fear spreads through a crowd quickly. It's like God made it that way. If there's danger, everybody gets scared and they all run. So fear really is contagious. And it doesn't take much fear to spread uncontrollably. Everyone has made jokes about it, but seriously, what is it that makes people empty the stores of toilet paper? What makes that happen? It's fear. A few people started buying it up, and then that spread to others, and pretty soon all the shelves are empty. It's fear. Fear that you won't have as much as you need. Fear that it won't be there when you really need it. Fear that you'll miss out and then have to create alternative options, which, which nobody wants to do, right? We're talking about toilet paper. So Craig in his sermon talked about how we are all carriers. And it's true. Every one of us is carrying something around with us. Some of us are carrying emotional baggage. Some of us carry fear. Some carry anxiety. Some carry despair and sadness. We're all carrying something. And since that is the case, we are all spreading something. Church, aren't we supposed to be different? Are we any different? The question is, since you are a carrier, is what you are carrying worth spreading? This morning, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. It says this, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, church, Paul thanked the church in Thessalonica for being faithful in their work, for being full of loving deeds, and for having an enduring hope. We are going to talk about those with our time left this morning, as we want the Father in heaven to commend us and to be proud of us for the difference that we are making in the world that is looking for a little bit of hope. And why did the church of Thessalonica have faith, love, and hope? Why? Why should we have faith, love, and hope? Why should we? Because of Jesus. If our faith, if our love, if our hope is not for such a time as this, then what are they for? Let's try and be like the early church today. Let's make a difference. Let's be a powerful force of good in the world. Listen, just a couple verses later, in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, "For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true." Power. We are to be a people of power. Let's not forget our message from a few weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." We have the greatest message ever known. We have hope. We have power. There is no greater news that we could ever share. We receive power when we trust Him, when we go about His business. Church, now is the time to not cower in the corner. Now is the time for the church to come alive. Do you think that when there is a cure for this, when there is a vaccine for this, do you think that that will go quietly? No, how quickly do you think that news will spread? That will be spread like a prairie fire. It's going to be, I mean, people are going to know, there's a cure, there's a cure, there's a cure. And it's going to start here, and it's going to blow up. Friends, the good news of Jesus, the good news of Jesus is about 10 billion times greater than that. During this time when people are afraid, when they are unsettled, when they are anxious, and when they are looking for hope, listen, we become hope dealers. We become light shiners. We become love givers. So in the name of Jesus, let's get busy and let's do the next right thing. Let's do the next right thing. And the first way we do that is by being faithful in their work. That was what was said about the church of Thessalonica, and it needs to be true for us. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think about your faithful work. The year was 1527, and a case of the bubonic plague was found in Wittenberg, the small town where Martin Luther was located. If you guys remember, Martin Luther was the guy that tacked the 95 theses on the Catholic Church door in Wittenberg. And it was that act of defiance against the church that caused a split. And that's why we have Catholics and Protestants now, because of Martin Luther. But anyway, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, had overtaken the world. And Martin Luther said this, and I think this is so fitting for us. "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate. I will help purify the air. I will administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed, in order to not become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as the result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, He will surely find me, and I have done what has been expected of me, and I am not responsible for either my death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but I will go freely, as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy, and does not tempt God." We want to be like Martin Luther. I love that. He accurately describes the best balance between living in fear and arrogance. "I will pray. I will not go where I am not needed. I will avoid going places that I won't spread this to other people. However, if my neighbor needs me, I'm there." Remember, being a Christian doesn't mean we check our brains at the door. We use them. We use self-discipline and the wisdom that God has given us. Yet we do everything we can to share the message of Jesus Christ and to spread His love. And because of that, we are, number two, being full of loving deeds. Verse 3 goes on to say, "As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds." In 1948, C.S. Lewis wrote an essay about the threat of the atomic bomb. Here's the quote. "This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes to find us, doing sensible and human things." Now listen to this. This is so good for us. "Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts." Can't do that one. "Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies." Hey, a microbe can do that. "But they need not dominate our minds." Now, perhaps Mr. Lewis should have said, instead of chatting with friends over a pint and a game of darts, maybe he should have said over Zoom or FaceTime, right? Let's back that one up. But I get it, right? You get it. We are not going to let fear derail us from serving others, to going the extra mile. One of my favorite actors this week posted something that I thought was absolutely amazing. I know most of you all know this because everybody shared it. It has like been everywhere, right? So this isn't new. This isn't groundbreaking news. But John Krasinski, most famous for his role as Jim Halpert in The Office, he made a little podcast in his study, right? And there's Jim. He made a little podcast in his study, and he said, It was called the Good News Network, or Some Good News. That's what it was, the Some Good News Network. And all he did was he compiled a bunch of stories that were good news because of all the bad news that we have today. And one of those, what I thought was amazing, was a guy named Art Cruz. And Art is a retired paratrooper. And it's just a picture of Art on a lawnmower. And the guy wrote on the caption, he said, "This is my neighbor mowing my yard for my family while I'm deployed. Sometimes he has pizza sent to our house on nights. My wife happens to be at Wits End with our four girls. He's our guardian, and his name is Art Cruz, and a wonderful friend." Good deeds. You get that? Good work. Taking care of our neighbors that need help. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who the church is supposed to be. I had a professor, my favorite professor ever, J.K. Jones. His daughter lost her eye. And they were trying to save her eye, and it wasn't going well. And the doctor, all these specialists, and they were going to doctors and trying this emergency stuff happening. And she's just, they're trying to desperately save it, and they're all at their wits' end. And he said in class, this was like the next semester, after all this had taken place, he said, "The craziest thing happened is I woke up at 5 a.m. to the sound of shoveling. And my friend, Chuck Sackett, was shoveling my driveway. He was shoveling my walks. He had never said anything to me. We didn't talk about it till later. I needed that. I needed that help. I needed somebody to see me and to know what I needed. And that's what Chuck did for me." Do you see this, church? We've got another one. You want a way to help out? We're having a blood drive pretty soon. In fact, it's next Monday. And it's the blood drive that was supposed to be taking place at Southeastern Elementary School. Obviously, that can't happen because they're on lockdown, and so they're moving it here. And so from 1 to 6 p.m., the Red Cross needs your help, either to donate blood or to volunteer. And listen, it's the Red Cross. They're taking all these precautions to make sure that you're safe. But if you can volunteer, if you can help out, it's such a good way to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I don't know if you can see that, but in that flyer, right in the middle there, is this quote, or this little blurb. It says, "Pint-sized hero, hope begins with you." Hope begins with you. We have hope, church. We are to share hope, church. Do you get that? Number three is having an enduring hope. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, we think of your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, today is Palm Sunday. It's the weirdest Palm Sunday I've ever experienced. Let's just be honest. Today marks the day that we remember Jesus making his triumphant entry. Today, remember how the crowds all chanted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "please save us." "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is quoting a psalm, and they are equating Jesus with God, and they are asking him to save them. Save them from the Romans. Restore the temple. Restore the way things were. Hope. The crowds had such hope. 5 days later, that all changed. realizing that Jesus wasn't going to save them the way that they wanted to be saved. That changed people's attitudes in a hurry. Isn't that so true of us? Can I be honest? As we are entering into a month of this social distancing and sheltering at home thing, I'm struggling. I'm an extrovert, like extreme extrovert. I need people. I need to be in close contact with people. It's not, and as much as like technology is amazing, I need to like see someone in front of my face and not just over a screen. Does that make sense? I know this is nothing compared to all the problems in the world. I get that. I have food. I have shelter. I'm blessed. I'm still blessed, even in this little hiccup. Anne Frank. For 2 years, Anne Frank had 8 people living in a 450-square-foot attic. That's like the size of a little hotel room. For 2 years. I can deal with this. But let me, I'm just being honest. This isn't fun. But my question is, do I still have hope? I have to remember my hope is Jesus. Jesus wasn't coming as a warrior king, not a politician either. He was coming to tear everything down and rebuild it all in His image. And that's what God tends to do, you see. Over and over again, man tries to build things in man's image, in man's wisdom. And what God is trying to do is tear it all down and build it in His image. Listen, Jesus came to bring hope, but an eternal hope. Not a temporary man-made, man-constructed hope, but real hope. A temple, an army, those last for a little bit. But true hope, God hope, the hope that is Jesus, that lasts forever. So here it is. You are a carrier. Is what you are carrying worth spreading? Church, we are the church. Are what we are carrying, is that worth spreading? Let's spread hope. Remember, the church is the plan. There is no plan B. Hope dealers. Light shiners. Love givers. In the name of Jesus, let's do the next right thing. Let's do the next right thing. And show the world what hope is really all about. And His name is Jesus.